Caro, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, March 3, 1899. Dear Brother, I have a special interest in the work going forward at Summer Hill and at Newcastle. I thank the Lord that the work is advancing as far as we can go and as fast as financial help comes. We are waiting patiently for the Lord to move upon the hearts of those who have means to aid us in this emergency. The Lord desires all who have money and are not putting it into circulation to realize that now is their time and opportunity to work. The time for us all to work is when the providence of God opens the way. The medical missionary work promises to do more in Australia than it has in America to open the way for the truth to gain access to the people. May the Lord's people now heed the invitations of God's opening providence and realize that it is an opportune time to work. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Let all who read these words be true to the requirements of Christ our Savior, whose lips spoke these words for the benefit of all who live upon the earth. The Lord Jesus made a most wonderful sacrifice in our behalf. He clothed his divinity with humanity and came to our world to give all his followers an example of the work they are to do. All have the privilege of cooperating with him. We are individually in possession of talents which we may use to accomplish good. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Who will now cooperate with God, built up by God, founded upon Christ, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit? Thus building for God, good works will appear. We are now building for time and for eternity. The heart grows strong while laboring in harmony with God. We are all to be thankful that God will accept us as co-workers with Him. Christ's life was one of continual self-denial, and at the present stage of the work, all are to be tried, tested, and proved, to see if they have the right qualifications of character. The storm of test and trial proves the building. Under trial it is seen whether the coin possesses the true ring. Is the heart strong to bear? Is the conscience void of offense? Now for the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8, verse 16. As the believer in Christ bears his testimony in simplicity and true godliness, you may be sure that he is not a scientific murmurer, that he does not complain because the workers do not have abundance of means. God sees fit to try his people with poverty, a dearth of means. But notwithstanding this, their zeal and earnestness in the work must not abate. All must have the spirit of self-sacrifice, for in God's work there is a positive necessity to sacrifice. Let no one fail at the very time that he needs to be strong, to act his part without a murmur. Sacrifices must be made now in building up the work with durability. Be careful to maintain good works. When Satan tempts you to fret and complain, to find fault because you think you should have more money, let not the unconsecrated tongue be active to murmur and complain as did the children of Israel. Laboring together with Christ means self-sacrifice at every step, until the work shall stand on vantage ground. Let all who have anything to do in God's service put on Christ, be yoked up with Christ. Then they will have the mind of Christ and will be willing to make sacrifices to advance the work in its various lines, to save the souls and bodies of suffering humanity. All must work in harmony, with cheerfulness, with wholeheartedness, following the opening providences of God. Do the very best you can, and when voices are raised to introduce the evil leaven of complaint, of peevishness, of murmuring, of accusing, do not listen to these words. If the heart accepts the introduction of this leaven, you will know it. This is the school of Satan, whether in the sanitarium or in the church. The troubled soul is made full of worry because mischievous tongues have abused the gift of speech to create disaffection. If the door of the heart is firmly closed, if you say, I will not be overcome. The Lord will help you. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 5. Let each one barricade the soul. If you speak, let it not be to voice the words of Satan, though they be the words of thy father, thy mother, thy brother, thy sister, friend, or enemy. Christ has given us directions. Take not up a reproach against thy neighbor. Let the tempted souls who have as a transmitted inheritance a spirit of suspicion, envy, jealousy, evil surmising, mourning, and complaining be on their guard. When tempted, as you certainly will be, reach up your hand to take hold of Christ, believing that He can and will save you because you believe in Him, and that you will be strong because Christ is your strength. Overcoming means much more than we apprehend. It means fighting the enemy in the shape of the suggestions he sends direct to the human soul, or through those with whom we associate. The branch grafted into the parent stock will bear the same fruit as the stock. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, means more than we realize. Resist the devil. This is the human agent's part. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. James 4, verse 7, 8. If we do this, we shall become rooted and grounded in the truth. There will be need, Dr. Caro, of organized plans. You will have to secure nurses to be educated and trained. They are learning a most valuable trade, and many temptations will come to them through the patients presenting offers of large wages, if they will go with them. They will propose to put them in places where they will have a better chance to earn money. Dr. Caro, you and your associates must guard this point, else you will surely have trouble. After doing your best to fit these ladies and gentlemen for the work, how can you be sure that they can be depended on to go here and there as your helpers to cooperate in the work? The only way you can do is to have these students agree to serve a period of time to obtain the knowledge essential, and to make trustworthy nurses. This must be treated as a business transaction, as well as a sacred obligation to be true to the principles of righteousness. The students should feel that they are under obligation to cooperate with the institution. They should regard their knowledge as a valuable treasure, to be used discreetly, and not opened indiscriminately to all. Keep your own counsel. It requires years of practice to make a full practitioner, one who can be trusted to act as physician as well as nurse. This you will often be required to do. The Lord would have His people, who are regarded by the world as singular and peculiar, keep themselves as His peculiar people. The light God has given in medical missionary lines will not cause His people to be regarded as inferior in scientific medical knowledge, but will fit them to stand upon the highest eminence. He would have them stand as a wise and understanding people because God is with them. Please read verses 1 to 6 of the 31st chapter of Exodus, also verses 30 to 35 of the 35th chapter, and verses 1 to 3 of the 36th chapter. In His dealing with the people, the Lord commanded a certain work to be done, in special lines and according to special methods. To men and women who were willing to be taught by God and to cooperate with Him to the best of their ability, the Lord gave wisdom. And as they used the talents given them, they received more wisdom, more understanding, and a knowledge of how to overcome difficulties. Under His instruction and guidance, they would become perfect and complete. The Lord is the source of all wisdom, of all grace, In His strength, defects and ignorance may be overcome. Every physician, every nurse, every helper who has anything to do in God's service must aim at perfection. Wrong habits must be overcome. Right habits, correct speech, correct habits must be cherished. Under the discipline of the greatest teacher the world has ever known, our course must ever tend upward to perfection. All who are connected with the medical missionary work must be learners. No one must stop to think, "I cannot do this." He must say instead, "God required me to be perfect." Work away from all commonness and cheapness, reaching up for perfection. What did Christ say in regard to this matter? "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. No one is excused who allows known defects to remain in his character. Those connected with medical missionary work are connected with God's service and must strive to reach the standard of perfection. God will give them wisdom and understanding. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." For if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, verse 13-19. To us, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1, verse 27-28. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2, verse 9-12. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5, verse 1-2. Let these words, all from Christ, be carefully cherished, believed, and practiced. We are to show a superiority in intellect, in understanding, in skill and knowledge, because we believe in God and in His power to work upon human hearts. Read the history of Daniel. The Lord would have His people reach the highest round of the ladder, that they may glorify Him by possessing the ability God is willing to bestow. He has a treasure house of knowledge from which we can all draw. Then, let us realize our defects and improve under the instruction of God. Let the light and grace of God be reflected to the world as the highest education, which sanctifies the receiver. The religion of Jesus Christ never degrades. It never makes men and women coarse and rough. God would have every man correct in speech, correct in habits, possessing knowledge that will give him a standing place among men. I present this matter as the Lord has presented it to me. Let us arm ourselves with a determination to put ourselves to the task of learning in the school of Christ. What shall be done to secure proper organization in the sanitarium? Proper persons who will do honor to every branch of the work, must be connected with the institution. The Lord will bless the efforts made in this direction. The consecration of our talents to God must be very real. As workers together with God, those in the sanitarium should enter into contract to accomplish that which should be done. They should agree to work a certain number of years under proper discipline, and thus be fitted to engage in the work under the advice and direction of the board of directors, as a part of the firm, to be sent where help is most needed, unless for some reason, on account of health or family demands, such a move is made inconsistent. All are to be united as a sacred firm in the great work God has signified should be done. No one is to feel at liberty to go away and establish an institution on their own merits and after their own methods, because the work they do will surely be inferior and will give no credit to the central institution which they are supposed to represent. Let it be understood that those who go forth to do a work in medical missionary lines are not to go independent of the institution already established, for this will cause confusion, and the institution that God would have stand before the world as a perfect and complete whole will be misinterpreted and misrepresented. All are to work intelligently and with cheerfulness. Each one is to be willing to do his part toward the building up of the institution in any place where the board of directors shall see fit in the order of God to send him, in order to advance as God's providence shall lead the way. Each one must have the spirit of self-denial and self-sacrifice, of which Christ has given us the example in his life. We are to feel our obligation to do the very best we can. Those who have many talents and those who have few are to work unitedly, as a wheel within a wheel. And if all feel their responsibility and accountability to God, they will do His will by acting their part according to His appointment. Each one is to bear in mind the words of Christ, "He that will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Mark 8, verse 34. If this command is kept in view, we shall see a large measure of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. The Lord has a place for every one in His great plan. Talents that are not needed are not bestowed. To every man God gives talents which are to be improved according to his several ability. Supposing the talent is small, God has a place for it, and that one talent, if used, will do the very work God designed that it should do. The talents of the humble cottager are needed in house-to-house labor, and can accomplish more in this work than brilliant gifts. And he who uses aright his one talent will be as verily rewarded as he who used aright 5 talents. It is for working according to the ability given that God rewards his servants. I have been awakened at 3 o'clock a.m. to write this matter. May the Lord bless the same to your good is my prayer. It is not yet daylight, but the blessing of the Lord rested upon me as I wrote. I would urge all to put away murmuring and complaining. Let the sweet fragrance of the Spirit of Christ enter your souls. If you will let the sunlight of the Savior's presence in, you will have health and His blessing. But those who are ever fretting, thinking they have a hard time, will surely have a hard time, for as a man thinketh, so is he. Let all remember that we are to deny self. Take up the cross. What does this mean? Do the very things which cross the natural inclination. Christ was the majesty of heaven, but he came into our world to practice self-denial, to live a life of self-sacrifice. He denied himself, living the life of a poor man that he might lift up the oppressed. Let us never forget that at the judgment seat of Christ, when he shall come the second time, every one must render an account to God. Day by day, hour by hour, we are laying up material for that searching judgment. Our daily life work is verily bound up with the second advent of our Lord. We are trading now upon our Lord's goods. When he returns, he will reckon with his servants to see how much every man has improved his God-entrusted gifts by blessing humanity. Results proportionate to the talents given will be required, and to every faithful, self-denying Christian is given a reward proportionate to his work. My reward is with me, Christ declares, to give every man according as his work shall be. Revelation 22, verse 12. It is positively essential that we individually abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything is measured and accurately estimated by the Lord's golden scales. Thank God it is not left for man to pass his judgment upon any man. All judgment is given into the hands of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he make no mistake.